The learning today in the yeshiva is dedicated to the memory of Rav Shmuel ben Rav Shlomo Cohen Kleiman. Normally speaking, the dedication, you see it posted on the Ilui Neshama spot in the Bet Midrash. This particular name you see every day, and you probably have never noticed it, because it's the name, the top name here on the parochet of the yeshiva. We'll talk about it in a moment. But in a sense, every day of learning here in the yeshiva is dedicated in his memory, and I'll explain in a moment. The aliyah of today, Revi'i of Parashat Vayetze, so as Rav Zev pointed out yesterday, is a part of a section of the Torah where the Torah discusses the birth of the different children of Yaakov and the naming of those children. Several of those children are born, if you will, in the Aliyah of Revi'i of Vayetze. And I want to speak about specifically about two of them, not so much for what occurs in this aliyah in terms of their birth and the significance of their names, something that Rav Zev mentioned yesterday, but rather in terms of their place in the consciousness of the Jewish people and Chazal throughout the generations. Zvulun is born and Yisachar is born, but not in that order. Yisachar is the first of the two. Child number 5 of Leah, number 9 of Yaakov, Zvulun number 6 and number 10, respectively. If you think about it in terms of their part of the pecking order, as it were, right, middle child syndrome, you can't get more middle child than that, and they wouldn't seem to have, in the scope of things, too much significance beyond the fact that they are, of course, the part of the 12 Shvatim. Things change a little bit. If you take a look at the dedication of the Mishkan, so the dedication of the Mishkan, when the Korbanot are brought, and we're going to be reading this in a few weeks' time during Chanukah, so the first day is Yehuda. Yehuda has his significance. Day number 2, Yisachar. Day number 3 is Zevulun. And in the brachot of both Yaakov and Moshe, Zevulun and Yisachar play significant roles. And here, the order is switched. If they were born as Yisachar and Zevulun, so they are blessed as Zevulun and Yisachar. And in this regard, Rashi, quoting the Midrash in several places, Rashi points out that both in the Bracha of Yaakov and in the Bracha of Moshe, the order is switched. And Rashi says the following. Shehaya Zevulun osek beprakmatia l'shevet Yisachar. Zevulun dealt with business on the behalf of the tribe of Yisachar, v'hem oskim b'Torah, and Yisachar, as a result, was able to devote their primary focus to the study of Torah. Hu she'amar Moshe, this is what Moshe said, samach Zevulun b'tzeitecha v'Yisachar ba'olecha. Zevulun should be happy with his coming and going, and Yisachar sitting in his tent. Zevulun yotze beprakmatia. Zevulun goes out and has his business. V'Yisachar osek b'Torah ba'olim. And Yisachar deals with Torah in the tents of Torah. And the notion of the Yisachar and Zvulun relationship, or sometimes the Zvulun and Yisachar relationship, the idea that one party is devoting himself to spiritual matters, and the other is supporting him in those endeavors, and they are partners, true partners, as a result, and their sechar is shared, is an idea that is deeply rooted in the consciousness. The notion that we are working, if you will, as a team, and that there is the need for Kemach, and there's the need for Torah, and Torah has its primacy with regard to the notion, the importance of what it represents, but we understand the importance of the Kemach as well, and there is it's a team effort. It's not a question of one's learning as opposed to the other. This is an issue which resonates. There are different figures in Jewish history where this is brought about, but there's interestingly enough, it all breaks at about the same time, if you will, in halachic history. Somewhere in the 19th and 20th century, there's a burst, maybe is a little bit too generous, but several very interesting tshuvot that deal with the fundamental question. And that is, how is it really possible for, if you think about it, for me to do the mitzvah, you support me, or vice versa, it doesn't really matter, and for you to get the schar, bottom line is, one of us did the mitzvah, the other one didn't do the mitzvah. And, you know, is this a question of, along the lines of the other religions, that you are basically purchasing these schuyot? It seems to be something which is unseemly. It's something which also doesn't ring totally true. A very interesting tshuva. I'll just mention the sheila, just that you hear the question, that it was actually, this is not just a theoretical question. Here was the tshuva that was given to the Netziv, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, towards the end of the 19th century. He was asked the following question: Echad shehaya noda la'adam gadol me'achav, machar chatzi zechuyotav u'mitzvotav b'sach gadol 22,000 rubel. So there was a person who was well known for his tzidkut, and he sold half of his sachar for 22,000 rubel. Le'ish asher, fine, to a wealthy person. And he received half of the money in advance. I mean, I don't know exactly what's advance and what's not advance here. Okay, but he got half the money down. And then, this rich person who had paid so far 11,000 ruble had a dream. And in the dream, he saw an angel who told him that the person who he had paid off 11,000 really wasn't so special. And he was getting ripped off in heaven. And when he's going to reach Shamayim, and he's going to find that the money that he's been investing in Schar Mitzvah isn't going to be so much. And so he wants to back out of the deal. And he doesn't want to pay the other 11,000, he wants a refund. And the other person is insisting, we deal as a deal. We made kinyanim, and you have to pay the full 22,000. So that's the shaila that comes to the Netziv. It's a very fascinating question. He deals with issues of kinyanim, and how this works, and what the schar, but then he deals with the fundamental question. Is this something that you can even really purchase? Is this kind of deal, right? It's almost a chelm type of question that he spent 22,000 ruble on trying to get schar mitzvah. Is this something which, what's the notion that stands behind it? And he says there's something fundamentally different. He says there are several issues. I'm simplifying the tshuva considerably. But he says that there is a fundamental difference between someone trying simply to purchase the schar mitzvah the way that this wealthy person was trying to do, which is totally illegitimate and there's nothing to be said for it,
as opposed to the Yisachar and Zvulun relationship. Because in the Yisachar and Zvulun relationship, he says, it's not a question simply of a person has achieved a spiritual merit and now he's selling it off. The Yisachar and Zvulun relationship is such that Yisachar could never have accomplished what he accomplishes without Zvulun's participation. It's only because of Zvulun and his support that Yisachar is in the Ohel in the first place. Had that not been there, so then there would be no Yisachar. And that kind of relationship, that kind of sacrifice that people make in order that other people are able to accomplish their goals and accomplish their dreams, that's what a team effort is. Then you can speak about the schar of Yisachar being credited to Zvulun as well. Because Yisachar's accomplishments are only there because of Zvulun. Medrash says that the flags of the Shvatim were unique. And the flag of Asher had a black background, Medrash Tanchuman Bamidbar says. And the flag of Zvulun had a white background. There are those who say that the rationale for the difference in the background is that Yisachar, he represents Torah, he represents the otiyot of Torah, the ink that the Torah is written on. Torah is written with, excuse me. But if you don't have the white parchment, so then that ink is worthless. The letters are never written. It just remains ink. The two come together to create the Sifrei Torah, and that is the schar, that's the partnership between the two. Mentioned that the name Rav Shmuel ben Rav Shlomo Kleiman HaKohen, Zichrono Livracha, so is behind me on the parochet, as well as the date of his yortzeit, Vav Kislev, 12 years ago. So I knew him as my Uncle Alex. And he was a person who we, in this yeshiva, we're the Yisachar here, and he's the Zvulun. Now is not the time to talk about his personal history. You can see a lot of the personal history on the parochet, because you'll see, besides his name and his wife's, my aunt, Zichrona Livracha's name, so eight, his father, both his parents, and six siblings who didn't survive the Shoah. He was a survivor. And he came to America, and because of the Shoah, so he wasn't able to learn Torah the way that he'd wanted to, but in his new home in Miami Beach, he was one of the pioneers in the of Jewish education there, supporting Jewish education. A tremendous love of learning Torah himself, always trying to find a few minutes to learn when he could. And he had a few hotels, small hotels, in Miami Beach. Each one of them had a shul, and he acquired Sifrei Torah for those hotels. About 16 years ago or so. So as his health was beginning to fail him, and those hotels were closed down, the Sifrei Torah were set aside. I got a call. This was 15 and a half years ago. 15 and a half years ago, I got a call when we were trying to decide whether we had enough students registered for the coming year to be able to open Yeshivat Eretz HaTzvi. My cousin called me, and she said, "Right, I hear that you're trying to open up a yeshiva." I said, "Yeah, I hadn't really spoken about it that much with the family." And she said, "That's really wonderful. Do you need a Sefer Torah?" I said, the truth is we do. We don't have any Sefer Torah. And she said, we have a Sefer Torah for you to be able to start the yeshiva. And at that moment, I picked up the phone, I called Rav Benny, and I said, because we were, as I said, we were right on the cusp. Truth is, we weren't on the cusp. We were below the cusp of being able to open up the yeshiva. I think we had 11 students registered at that point. It was in May, and we were trying to decide whether we should be able to open it or not. And I said, okay, we have a Sefer Torah. And she also had the parachot and the things from the hotel, so we were able to have suddenly a Beit Midrash that looked like a Beit Midrash. Later on, the different Sifrei Torah, 5 Sifrei Torah, including the Sephardi Sefer Torah and other Sifrei Torah that are here, they also came. These were the core Sifrei Torah of the yeshiva, and then the family donated the money for our current parachot and the atarot and things along those lines. The Sifrei Torah that we read every day here in the yeshiva is bizchuta. Every word of Torah that we learn every day, I guess, in that regard, is because of that contribution. The love of Torah, the importance of continuing Torah, and then, well, I just want to finish with one last thought. I was speaking to my cousin yesterday, and I asked her if there was something, because I've spoken about this now, this is the 12th Yortzeit. So I've spoken about him every year. And I asked, is there something that you want me to mention, perhaps that I haven't spoken about before? And she said, besides his, what I mentioned a moment ago, his love of learning, he said, the reason, she said, something I didn't know. She said, the reason why my father wanted to support your yeshiva was because of his feeling the importance of knowing that this was a yeshiva that was going to encourage students not only to be learning full-time when they were in the yeshiva, but knowing that they were going to be going out into the world. They were going to be, many of you, perhaps most of you, are going to be the zvuluns of the world. And nevertheless, that this is a yeshiva that was going to imbue them with the spirit of Yisachar. That they're going to imbue them with the spirit of the importance of Talmud Torah for themselves as well. To continue learning in whatever setting you will find yourself in. To be supportive of those people who are learning full time, but no less important, maybe even more important, to take that spirit of Yisachar, of the Oalod, the Oalim of Yisachar, the tents of Yisachar, and bring it to the Prachmatia, bring it to the business of Zevulun. Yi Ratzon, that the Neshama should have an Aliyah, and that we should be able to live up to the spirit of that wish, and truly bring the tents of Yisachar into Zevulun, and our Zevulun to support Yisachar.